are Locked On Big 12, your daily podcast on the Big 12 Conference, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everybody. Josh Neighbors here today for the Locked On Nationals podcast. It is part two of our first round draft discussion. Stephen Simcox and I break down the back half, or the last part, rather, of the NFL draft and some of the big stories, and discuss where some Big 12 players could go. All right, so the Lions did something good, which I'm really happy for Lions fans. What a home run pick. Penei Sewell, left tackle, obviously, from Oregon. And that guy is just 20 years old, Steve, which is crazy, bro. He's only 20 years old. And excellent player, in my opinion. Really high upside. This was about as good of a pick you get. This is a foundational piece. And I saw one scout thing was like, you know, if I had to say somebody's going to be a Hall of Famer from this entire group, it's going to be Penei Sewell. I think about this. In half a decade, the guy will be 25 years old. The guy's going to be 25 years old in half a decade. So he's got a long future ahead of him. It's good stuff.
He does. Yeah, he reminds me of, you know, Tyron Smith was also like that age range when he got picked by the Cowboys. And that's worked out really well. It's a steal at 7. And it's like the perfect Dan Campbell dude. He was the guy that was in the presser saying he's going to bite people's kneecaps off and all that stuff. So, you know, he loved getting a road grader there at 7th overall. You give Jared Goff some protection. I mean, that's one of those that it's not flashy, but you can hang your hat every year down the road on, we got a really good left tackle. And that's a huge deal in the NFL.
And the big thing is for Lions fans, getting a new coach in there and having the fans be like, I love your first round pick. This guy fell to you. And you know what you did? You went out and you took the quarterback, and we're just really pleased that you did that. So I think, yeah, I mean, I love the pick. And for them, I think it's just a home run. And see what happens, right? Continue to build the draft. Also, I think you have a lot of people who are going to go out and buy a Penei Sewell Lions jersey. Like, I think a lot of your fans are like, yes, I'll go and buy a number, whatever it is, you know, 64, 72, whatever nobody's going to wear. Also, let the linemen wear whatever number they want. Let them do it. That's what I want to see. You saw the number change rules, right? Like the number changes.
Single digit stuff and all that. Yeah.
The linemen are the only ones who don't get to do anything, which is to me is I hate that.
It's unfair. Yeah, give Penei Sewell 15 or something. That'd be fantastic. Yeah.
00. I want him to wear 00. That'd be like 99. All right, let's go to J.C. Horn at 8. So this kind of tie. Let's lump in. I want to lump in 8, 9, and then 12. So Jace is kind of the defensive player category. So J.C. Horn is the first corner taken. And I thought this would happen because there was a lot of movement towards, like, it just felt like Surtain was going to be a Cowboy, right? It just felt like it. Carolina needed the corner. I don't hate them getting J.C. Horn here. I really like J.C. Horn. He's a really good player. I think they drafted for need. It's a smart pick. They didn't overthink it. They didn't get another quarterback. Justin Fields didn't trade back. Somebody might want Justin Fields. They just said, look, we think J.C. Horn's best corner. We need a corner. We'll take him.
Carolina's still not selected an offensive player in the Matt Rhule era in this draft, which is
not surprising.
Not surprising, no.
Not surprising.
And the other thing about Rhule I remember at Baylor was, you know, he wouldn't get like 4- and 5-star guys for the most part, but he had a huge expectation that, like, if you didn't have NFL measurables, if you didn't test well, like, there was no chance they were offering you. Like, that was huge for him. He took like a lot of raw guys who tested well. And I think part of that was he was obviously trying to get to the NFL, but I do think he puts like some of more impact than others on some of that workout warrior stuff, which J.C. Horn makes sense in that regard. Also, like, he's just got a little swagger to him. He played a lot of press man coverage at South Carolina. Mm-hmm. I like this for Carolina. I think he's going to come in. He's going to take those challenges. And I feel like it makes a lot of sense for them to take him at 8. You know, as a Cowboys fan, I was very, very mad at the Broncos for taking Patrick Surtain. And I feel like it's kind of a buzzkill because at one point last night, people were like, oh, they might get Aaron Rodgers, and they ended up with Patrick Surtain. But he's a good player. Like, he's a safe pick. He knows what he's doing, and he's going to be good. I just feel like for Denver, they might have had bigger needs. But Surtain was a solid choice by them.
Yeah, Surtain's a good choice for them, in my opinion. I'm kind of with you on that. And now that kind of allows them, you know, if they can go – I mean, because they've got to build that defense up. You know, Von Miller's obviously aging at this point. And so their back end, like, they're going to have a chance to have a pretty decent back end. I think, look, people seem to like Ronald Darby a lot more than I did last year for reasons that, you know, I don't really understand. So he goes there and he's playing corner for them. I think that Surtain probably competes for that spot, right? Feels like he'll probably be that guy. I think it's, you know, they're trying to build that back end up, and they also get some pass rush too, but I don't hate that. I also think for them, people said Justin Fields, they just traded for Bridgewater. I think they're doing the right thing at quarterback for the Broncos. Is, all right, look, have somebody in camp who can press Drew Lock, right? Have Lock win the job outright, and then, you know, and then see what he got, because Lock's been injured a bunch. And, you know, at the end of his Missouri career, once again, full disclosure, Mizzou Tiger, I was never a Drew Lock guy first 2 years there, 2.5 years there. He really began to, like, his last year, he struggled some. And I think it was like positive. You could see the wheels turning. You could see him. And I mean that in a good way. Like, he was trying to figure things out and how to read defenses better. Right. And that's the problem with the Josh Heupel offense was, it was like, you know, run between tackles, play action, seam route, play action, tight end, play action to the outside. It was very easy. The reads were all made for him, essentially. Then Derek Dooley comes in and starts challenging him some, and he needed that challenge. And I like the fact now that he's fighting through some adversity with injuries. He did not perform well, but to my experience, Drew Lock is that he rebounds pretty well from challenges. So I think you give him one more year. You have a lot of that talent that you drafted at the wideout position and the skill positions still there and still young. So one more year, yeah, if it doesn't work out and you suck, go get a quarterback next year. Plenty of guys available. You know, watch the guy, find the guy you like. I think we're plenty of good quarterbacks next year. But you have one this year. You brought in the vet to challenge him with plenty of starting experience. So if things go wrong, you can bring him in. And now you've drafted a position of need, and you've built some at the very least, they've built depth in the secondary.
Yeah, Locke felt like the guy in college that scouts kept telling you was – great, and you would watch him and you kind of be like, okay, what am I missing here?
Yes.
But it wasn't that long ago that he was there. It was really promising there in Denver for him. People were like, oh yeah, the Broncos were right, like, this dude's good, he's an NFL quarterback. And last year was sort of a wash, but they are in a good situation because Bridgewater is a professional. He's going to come in and do his job, and he'll be there if things go awry. And you need a good defense for either of those guys, no matter who starts. So adding Surtain makes that more formidable, which is a big plus.
All right. So, and then it's okay. So there's a trade at 10. Eagles go up and they get Devontae Smith. I believe they traded up to 10, correct?
Yes, they did. Yeah, from 12 to 10.
So go from 12 to 10. They take Devontae Smith. Really interesting pick here, because the Eagles are not going to be good next year. There is not a world where that team's good. They have some deconstructing to do before they build it back up. Now, the nice thing is, and you know this, Steven, in the National Football Conference's East Division, it does not take much to be very good. A team that played four quarterbacks at various times last season won the division, right? So it doesn't take very much. But this is a good foundational piece. I would just say, practice patience with your guy, Jalen Reagor, right? And practice patience with Devontae Smith. This, like, winning football games this year should not be your evaluation of whether or not Jalen Hurts, Devontae Smith, Jalen Reagor are going to work out together. I don't think that's how you evaluate them. I think you just gonna evaluate them on the performances that we see, not final scoring lines. That's what I think is the key here for Philadelphia.
I mean, keep taking first-round wide receivers until you hit on one, I guess. But right. I feel like Devontae Smith is a good move. And, yeah, Rager's year was – he was injured, and then he came back. They were switching quarterbacks. I don't know how much you can make a determination on him yet. He's a game-breaker. You can use him in special teams. You can also say those things about Devontae Smith. So it is sort of an interesting fit. And he's also kind of a smaller guy that is going to be running down the field and trying to make plays. I like Jalen Hurts. I really do. But towards the end of his career at Oklahoma, it felt like Lincoln Riley didn't trust him to throw the football.
Nobody did.
And now, Josh, you're talking about an offense with Rager and Smith, who are guys that want to stretch the field. And I know he did that a little bit in his starts that he had, but I have big questions. As you said, though, you're evaluating that right now. So you got to give him a season to just go at it and see what happens. I just think if you're asking Jalen Hurts to run an offense that's going to be based on a lot of vertical passing, then I don't know how that's going to work.
Today's show is brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting, best for you protein bar in the game today. We've been telling you guys about Built Bar for a long time. If you have not tried it yet, what in the hell are you waiting for? Built Bar is the low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, amazing tasting protein bar with 100% chocolate. Remember this promo code. It is LOCKED15. It's LOCKED15, LOCKED15. If you guys go to BuiltBar.com right now, use that promo code, once again, LOCKED15, you'll get 15% off on your first purchase. What are you waiting for? Go to BuiltBar.com right now. Try all of their amazing Built Bars. Get the variety pack. Use that promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off at your next purchase at BuiltBar.com.
Right. That's why I think Devontae's a good pick, because obviously great at getting open down the field and can catch some contested balls if Jalen Hurts can get them there. But also, like, slant, he is slant Jesus, right? That guy, nobody runs a slant route like Devontae Smith slant route. You know, I like the fact that they're getting a couple guys that can just, you know, with their physical attributes can get open. And that's what they need. You're right about Jalen Hurts. Like, I was at that Peach Bowl, and man, the knocks on him about reading the defense they're there. Now, he did some better stuff last year, but like a lot of that was kind of like improvisation. Actually, in a way that I feel like we hadn't always seen from him, which I thought was positive, but mm-hmm. I had questions about reading the defense. Let's go to kind of go here. All right. So the big move here in the top of the first round, Justin Fields at 11. The Bears move up. They take Justin Fields. And I have a lot of Bears fans in my life. Obviously, Mizzou, a lot of Chicago kids. I'm really happy for them. I'm really, really happy. This is a great fit. He's going to stay in Big Ten country. He's going to one of the best fan bases in the sport. I know there's going to be some impatience because of what they just went through with Trubisky, but the Midwesterners, you know, there's a little bit more loving, caring than maybe, you know, your New York's, your Philadelphia's. I think I love this. I'm very happy.
I love it too. I thought as soon as they went up, I said, oh, they're getting Justin Fields. That's fantastic. I mean, they went 8-8 with Mitch Trubisky. You know, they made the playoffs with Mitch Trubisky. So it's a team that has some dudes, has some players. And Fields, you know, maybe he can come in and sit for a few games if he has to, or he can start immediately. Obviously, this is tricky now since they already named Andy Dalton their QB1 for the season on Twitter.
Yeah, which, I mean, like, just, I don't know. What are we doing? What are we doing?
Poor Andy. But anyway, we all know Justin Fields is the guy. And I think it's a good situation for him. He does get to stay pretty close to home, as you said. So good for the Bears. It's the pick they need to make. And they gave up a lot, but you got to do that to get to quarterback. So they got the guy they needed to have there in Justin Fields. They got him at 11, which is pretty huge.
Yeah, you got to build around him too. Your Cowboys took Micah Parsons. I did see your tweet. It said he has his personality deficiencies made him shoot up the draft board, which, like, that is the joke. I mean, the number of guys with clear personality issues the Cowboys have taken. Let's see, Alden Smith not drafted, but obviously on the team. Greg Hardy, Randy Gregory, Dez Bryant. Who else? You don't add anybody else? I'm trying to think. If I hit everybody?
T.O. in free agency.
Right. Right.
I guess Deion wasn't really a off the field issue guy, but he had a big personality. Jerry's not afraid of those things.
Jerry leans into it.
He's not. He enjoys them. He embraces them.
He's a good player. It just, you know, I'm not saying he's because the guys look, when rookies come in, it's not like, you know, they're
on a team like the Cowboys, especially the defense, like they do, it's not like they're completely devoid of any veterans at all. It's not going to come in and just start being like the personality of the room, right?
Yeah.
Now, the problem I have is like the stuff at Penn State was just troubling. Like, it's just really troubling. And it goes beyond childish. It's like, you know, physically harming another human. It's borderline, you know, I mean, like criminal. And that's what concerns me. But like, I don't think that stuff goes in the NFL locker room. I just don't like it from a personal perspective. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't like the pick. And, you know, the hazing stuff, which quick Google search will tell you what went on. But basically, he and a few teammates were just ganging up on this Penn State player and making his life miserable. But his defense of that was, well, I was 18 years old.
Right.
Which, yeah, I did a bunch of stupid stuff when I was 18. But
not
the details of it are pretty heinous. I mean, you're talking about like borderline criminal stuff.
Right.
And I don't think he's going to do that in an NFL locker room. But I do wonder about maturity. Dallas is not exactly a place where people come in and, like, shape up and figure out their life. So I have issues with that. And also, Josh, to me, I mean, I think he's just a healthier Jalen Smith. Which right. Jalen Smith was a really good college linebacker. And Micah Parsons is a really good college linebacker. And they need help on defense. But he had, you know, he had issues in coverage. It's not his natural position. He can get after the passer. He feels like sort of a tweener to me. And I don't know. I think it's rare that this team hits on a guy like that who hasn't really come into his own yet. Now they got to figure out too. They got till Monday. I assume they're probably not going to pick up the 5th-year option on Leighton Vander Esch. Jalen like hustled himself a contract during the Ezekiel Elliott holdout, which was very smart by him.
Right.
And now they're sort of married to him. I mean, I think he's going to come in and he makes them better at linebacker. I just, when the corners went off the board, I was disappointed. And then when they traded back, I thought, okay, that's good. But they traded back with Philly. It's like they traded back 2 spots and Philly probably, they might get Devontae Smith or either them or maybe the Giants stay there and get Devontae Smith. But you like hand your division rival another wide receiver. You get a 3rd-round pick out of it. And then I would have taken Slater, even though it's a boring pick. Like I just, okay, let's work on our offensive line depth or trade down further and get one of those corners towards the back end of the 1st round.
Oh, I forgot. At right tackle, you guys said another person with personality deficiencies, Lael Collins. So
yeah, Lael Collins, whose agent was like, yeah, sorry, he came in out of shape and now his hips messed up. He's going to have to sit all year. And they're just like, okay, great.
Sounds good. The next few picks, we go offense here. So we go Slater, love that pick. That's a great pick for the Chargers. Just, you know, once again, Herbert's really good. We knew he's really good. It's a good situation. Just keep building around him. The Jets trade up to get Elijah Vera Tucker. I didn't see this one coming. Don't know if they had to go to 14 to do it.
Right.
Thought he might have been available a little bit later, but they get him anyway. Who was 14? I'm not even sure they traded up with him that, get that pick.
The Minnesota? Vikings,
yes. Yeah. Which led to Mac Jones going to 15. All right. So, Matt, this one, I mean, this is the fit of all fits because those Patriots fans are going to love this guy. Alabama quarterback who is a white dude who, you know, potentially, you know, whatever, he dressed up as Barack Obama 1 year for Halloween and his sister posted it on, you know, on Twitter and said hashtag no Obama, which I feel like might fit in a little bit in Boston. That it just feels all right. You know what I mean? Right. It kind of feels like Nick Saban player going to Boston to go play for Bill Belichick. They need some help on offense though. They got to build that offense is not ready to go firing on all cylinders, man. I'll tell you what, not in that offense, game breaking wide receivers and running backs. That's what they don't have at this point.
Republican quarterback with limited physical ability. That worked out pretty well for him for like 18 years. So we'll see if Mac is also a good fit. No, it made sense. Like as soon as they were sitting there at 15, I thought, okay, yeah, they're going to take Mac Jones.
Yeah.
And I mean, Cam Newton's there. He can, I guess, mentor him. I don't really know. That offense is going to look so different, though, between Cam Newton and
that's not just like you plug and play, right? Cam's out of the game. Here comes Mac Jones. And the offense is like, oh, no, we got to – like, I mean, it's like two separate playbooks. Like, the offensive players can be pissed and be like, you serious? We got to learn two separate offenses for these two clowns? And then here's the thing. I mean, you look at the – okay, Steve, I'm going to ask you. This is not – this. I didn't know this. So can you name me who ESPN.com lists as their three starting wide receivers right now on the Patriots team? Could you name me any of them?
Is Troy Brown still there?
Troy Brown? No.
No, I honestly don't know. I mean, now that Edelman's gone, I don't know who's there.
It's Nelson Aguilar, Kendrick Bourne, and Jacoby Myers.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
I mean,
Jalen Waddle, Devontae Smith,
or Billingsley, or John Mechie, right? Having those guys. So and here's the thing for them. If they're able to get, like, they just need to start drafting wide receivers because this defense is still very good. You go when you look at the defense they have. I mean, still Lawrence Guy, they got Godshaw, Judon, they got over, Juwan Bentley, Dante Hightower, Van Noy is still there in the back end. They got J.C. Jackson, McCourty's still there, Stephon Gilmore. So, like, the defense is good. Now they just need to start drafting skill position players on offense and maybe some offensive line depth as well. So, here's what I'll say. It's pretty clear what they have to do. And I like that. They've got a clear direction. And also this team, in that division, right? I'm trying to think who the Bills won the division, but like that division, you can still get to 9-7, right? The Dolphins are in limbo. The Jets still suck. You can split with the Bills. Like, it's not outrageous to split with the Bills, right? It's not, they're not some absolute killer buzzsaw that can't be beat. So for them, it's about ironing those things out.
It is. And yeah, I mean, they, aside from Randy Moss, I mean, they've gotten this done for years with Edelman and a bunch of kind of no-name guys. Gronk was a huge dynamic player at tight end. So they have to beef that up. They have to beef up those skill positions because Mac Jones, I don't think it's a guy that's just going to be able to succeed with kind of no-name anonymous players at those spots. And I guess this also spells the end for former Baylor quarterback Jared Stidham because he was like the backup there. So I assume he's also gone, which is not shocking, but it makes a ton of sense. Mac Jones and the Patriots, it's a good marriage. And as much as I would have like clowned the Niners for taking him at 3, the Pats at 15, I think it's fair.
Yeah. Zaven Collins went next. That was a surprise. I like that though. I mean, he's a big dude, right? He's an athletic big dude. Thumper, old school thumper. And that defense kind of needs that.
They do. It's kind of funny that they took two guys kind of like that in Isaiah Simmons the year before. But Collins is a good player and super athletic. So if you can find a spot for him, as you said, he can bring the wood. And I like that pick for Arizona. They're a sneaky, good, maybe futures bet in the NFC West.
Yep. Alex Leatherwood went next. Thought it was a bit early for him to go. Jalen Phillips, that's a boomer bust pick for the Dolphins, right? A guy who almost, admittedly retired at one point. Jamin Davis goes to Washington. I'll be honest. This guy was not my radar at all. I'm sure he'll be.
Yeah, I did not know who that was really at all.
I watched. So Kentucky does this weird thing with their linebackers while we're like 22 or 14. So like it's very weird, but I will say this, really good athlete. And I'm sure he'll be like this really good above average linebacker for like 5 years, 6 years for us. So, I mean, you always take that. Defense is not really where I'm concerned right now. Darrisaw was there. I really wanted Christian Darrisaw. I thought that was where they were going to go with him or Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. Quiddy Pay to Indianapolis. And at this point in time, I feel like I need to draft somebody. They're just going to be good. It's kind of how I feel about picks like that. Caleb Farley and Darrisaw went next. I forgot about Kadarius Toney at 20, which was really interesting. So the Giants trade up to take Kadarius Toney. This was really weird, and I kind of love it.
They kind of have a sneaky good wide receiving core.
They do, yes.
Kenny Galladay, Shepard.
Evan Ingram,
yes. And now you add Toney. The thing I'll say about that is as a recovering Jason Garrett watcher for years, I feel like he never was able to really unlock or find how to use kind of fun toys like this. But Toney's a game breaker. So if they can figure out just how to give him the ball in space, then I think it's a big deal for the Giants.
Yeah, I mean, I think he fits in perfectly with their offense. I mean, I don't know if they had to go get him right here, right? But he's a really good fit. Obviously, we saw what happened. I think the reason people didn't love him as much is because he only had one really good year, and that's because Kyle Trask, you know, played really well. And it's more on Felipe Franks for not being able to use him than it is on, you know, his personal play. And I know he's got some people worried about, you know, attitude, whatever, but he's a very good player. I thought it was interesting. Najee Harris, this was weird. I never thought there was a pick that in the 20s that everybody could spot from a mile away, like Najee Harris to the Steelers. But like that was, it's just like the easiest pick of the draft, right? I mean, besides Lawrence that won, it was like Najee Harris is going to be a Steeler. And nobody get in the way of that. And nobody did.
Yeah, as much as, like, people hate taking running backs in the first round, I like this. The Steelers need a running game. It's a perfect fit, as you said. I think he is great with that kind of tough-minded Pittsburgh mentality. Mike Tomlin's going to love him. And it bolsters that offense. So, I agree. I think this is a wonderful pick for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
And then ETN running back, I mean, what do you think about that? Reuniting the ETN Trevor Lawrence backfield in Jacksonville. That I thought that was pretty interesting.
I did too. I mean, I like Travis. Like, he was great at Clemson, and you reunite those guys. I think there's – for the Jags, who are rebuilding the whole team, I mean, they got tight end locked down with Tim Tebow, but there's – there's so many other spots you should address before running back. But right. If he was the best player on the board at that point for you, then I guess, yeah, go ahead and take him. It's just an extra first round pick.
Yeah. Yes. That's, it was interesting to go running back at that point. Greg Newsome goes to Browns. I like Rashad Bateman to the Ravens. Thought that was a very good pick, getting an outside wide receiver who's a legitimate threat. They need to keep building around Lamar. They got to keep getting him weapons, like guys that, you know, just can make plays in the passing game. They got another one. I know they tried. I'm trying to remember who they got. Hollywood Brown, obviously. Devin Duvernay, right? They got him out of Texas. And so they're just trying to throw stuff at the wall, which I appreciate. I mean, but Bateman's more than throwing stuff at the wall. I mean, he's legit first-round wide receiver talent. I thought this was a good pick for them.
He is, and yeah, they have to get better in the passing game. Like, that's the key for Baltimore. So right. add another receiver to the mix. And Rashad, I mean, he seems like a very polished player. I think he's going right. to come in and be a really good compliment to Hollywood Brown.
I mean, their passing game is why they didn't make the AFC Championship game last year. You know what I mean? Like, that's that is why. I mean, the interception against the Browns is really what settled the form. I'm not saying it's a wide receiver's fault, but like that just kind of this point is what it is. Turner goes to the Saints. Stokes, Eric Stokes as a corner going to the Packers. This surprised me a little bit. You know, I thought they might have at that point. I don't really know. I feel like maybe they want offensive line help. I'm not even sure at this point what they really want to keep building there. But they've got a lot of interesting things happening. Gregory Rousseau to the Bills. That feels like a good pick. Not familiar with this OA guy from Penn State. Can't say I watched a whole lot of him at all.
Don't have much of a read now.
And then Tyron from Washington goes outside linebacker, which kind of gets you to the point today, Stephen, where I'm really looking is, you know, everybody talks about the best available. Like this year, more than other years, feels like there's more like really good available players than there have been in the past. Like there are a lot of guys out there right now who I mean, are first round talents in my mind. Guys like, you know, your Tevin Jenkins and your Elijah Moores, right? All those guys are still available and sitting there. And so I feel like I'm trying to pull up an NFL draft best available right now as I do this. Best available. I'm not sure if you feel this way. It does seem like there's a lot of guys available at this point that are first-round talents, right? Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoa, Trayvon Morig, Aziz Ojulari, Rondale Moore, Tevin Jenkins, Asante Samuel, Christian Barmore. I mean, these are all guys that we thought would go in the first round who are all still available right now.
I think you're dead on about that. Yeah, you still have a lot of guys who probably in normal years would be first-round picks. Good receivers like Elijah Moore and Rondale Moore, some defensive help, offensive line help that you can get. I think even going into, like, the 40s and 50s, you're still going to have a good chance based on, you know, the needs of people in front of you to pick up like a day one starter in round two, which is pretty rare, even in the NFL, which is so deep with the talent.
All right. Where do you think Trayvon Morgan? I mean, do you think we're going to see him go early, Steven? Do you think he's, you know, he's off the board here in the first, you know, couple picks, I guess round two, trying to figure out who's, you know, I think they go back right back to the top again, but yeah. Where do you think Trayvon Morgan is going to go?
Man, I hope so. I'm going to call my shot. I'll say 44. I say he slips to 44 at the Cowboys, which would be about 10 picks in the second round. And I think Dallas goes and gets a DB and they select Morig. But yeah, it starts off with Jacksonville. You know, they took ETN with that second first round pick. I don't think they'll be looking safety, but I could see him going in the first couple picks. I think it seems like he's the best or one of the best players available right now on the board. So I feel like it just kind of comes down to whether teams are looking offense or defense early in that second round.
All right, Steven Simcox, I appreciate your time, my friend. Where can people find you and your work?
At Locked On TCU is the show's Twitter account, and then at Simcox Steven is my Twitter account. And you can find Locked On Horned Frogs, that's the name of the podcast, anywhere you get your podcast. Yeah, we'll have plenty of draft coverage over the next few days, next week, as far as who gets selected, and some more TCU football offseason talk, and TCU baseball tied for first place right now in the Big 12. So all those things going on Locked On Horned Frogs.
Nice. Perfect. Guys, go check it out. Locked On Horned Frogs podcast. Steven Simcox, appreciate your time.
Thanks, Josh.
All right, that will do it for today's shows. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at LO Big 12. You can follow me at Josh Neighbors_. Until next time, my friends, stay safe.